Blog Talk Radio.
Give this a try. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his last messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder warner, leader, and comforter. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in the chat rooms and on the phones. And I greet the words of peace of assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen.
And thank you, Student Minister James Muhammad, who is, of course, our beloved brother and host, the student minister, and he is going to deliver to us an exegesis, of course, from the time of what must be done, part 27, Why Did God Make Devil? And Brother James, thank you for just being on here once again and again and again, and we look forward to the message that you're going to deliver tonight, because not only is it from your knowledge and wisdom, but it's also from the heart. So thank you for your dedication and your willingness, and we can't wait to hear this timely message. So no need to introduce you, dear brother. I present Student Minister James Muhammad. Once again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you, my beloved queen and sister, Aziza Mariam Muhammad. I want to say to our listening audience, dear family, first of all, thank you for being on this week. And what you have just experienced, as my sister was giving all of us the salutations, I know you had to notice the raspiness in her voice. Well, I just want to clarify that what you have experienced is the result of a workaholic, dedicated, but hard-headed sister who refuses to take the necessary rest that all of us who love her are trying to appeal to her to take. Now, I'm saying this because she thought I wouldn't put her on blast, but I told her not to try me. And so maybe you will listen. Now, let us begin our show.
My goodness.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world. We bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and we bear witness to his oneness, and we bear witness to the oneness of his prophetic community. As students of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we bear witness that Allah God appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the long-awaited Mahdi of the Muslims and the Messiah of the Christians. We bear witness that he made his presence known to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1930, and then he made his presence, power, an appearance known to us all. Actually, it was 1931. We thank Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, for raising up his messenger, Messiah, and now exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given that one of whom the scripture prophesies and titles the Spirit of Truth. The man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I am deeply grateful and highly honored to be a student of his in this hour. What a mercy. What a grace. Because it is in this hour where knowledge, wisdom, and understanding is more precious than diamonds and gold. It is not necessarily money that our people need, although we do need money. But as Hosea says in the Bible, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, it is mercy and grace and a great honor and privilege to be a student of that one who is the spirit of truth and the spirit of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, who will and has and will continue to guide us, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to greet all of you, my dear family, with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum. I want to thank you once again. I want to thank you once again for joining in with us tonight and sharing with us this most timely discussion taken from the 27th episode of The Time and What Must Be Done, Why Did God Make Devil, Part 1. This is a subject, by the grace of Allah, that I pray he will allow me to deliver appropriately after my teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, this Sunday in Tampa, Florida. I thought that perhaps you all would love to take up this discussion tonight as, I would say, an introduction to what I hope Allah will bless me with this Sunday. Why did God make devil? From the outstart, when I say, or when the minister said, and I say after him, why did God make devil? I'm sure that there are those of us in the audience who will be astounded, or at the very least taken by surprise. Because I'm sure some, if not many of us, believe or think or are of the disposition of mind, why would a good God make a devil? Why would he even make an opponent, an adversary to himself? The devil is wicked. The devil is a liar. The devil is a destroyer. The devil is a deceiver. Yes, yes, yes. He's all of that and some. But the question again is, why did God make devil? When we ask the question, why? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, we are asking for what? For what purpose? For what reason? For what cause? And when we ask God why, then we are asking to gain entry into his mind and into his motive. Why, God, did you make devil? Well, let's explore what is on your mind, as I before stated. What do you mean God made devil? Well, I'm going to ask a simple question, dear family. How many creators are there? Give you a moment to think about it. And, of course, you don't really need a moment because you know that there's only one creator, and that creator is God. I'm sure we will get agreement on that. And if God is the only creator, I didn't say maker, there's a difference, which inshallah, God willing, we will explain further down this discussion. But if God is the only creator, and he is, then why would he make devil? Why would he create a devil? Where did he get the idea to make a devil? Where did he get the ingredients to make a devil? Where did this evil come from? Since God was the only one around, where did it come from? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us. that in the nature of God, the first God, and I know that opens up a plethora of questions. The first God. What do you mean the first God? There's only one, eternal and everlasting, the beginning and the ending. Yes, yes, yes. I understand that. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that first God who created himself out of the darkness of the universe as an atom floating in the darkness of the universe, spinning out of that atom, he created himself. He's self-created. And since he was the only one around, then everything in creation after him had to take their origin from him. So if evil exists now, and it does, then it had to take its origin from Almighty God himself. But why would God make a devil? I want you to calm down. The scripture says, all things, and this is in Romans, the 28th verse, and we know that all things, not some things, but all things work together for the good to them that love the God or love the Lord and to them who are called according to his purpose. So all things work together for good, even the making of the devil is for good. Let's look at it. As we look at our universe, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we see an irrefutable mathematical fact. And that irrefutable mathematical fact is the fact that the universe is not perfectly round. The universe is oval. And all of the planets in the universe are not perfectly round. And if it's not perfectly round, yet it's in motion, then ultimately that motion will create friction, and friction will ultimately destroy that which is in motion but is not perfectly round. Well, the question is, why isn't the earth destroyed? It's been around trillions and trillions of years. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that the only reason why the earth is not being destroyed in its motion and in its imperfect state is because it obeys so perfectly the nature in which it is created. Now, when the disciples approached the master and asked him, "Master, teach us to pray," his response was, "Pray on this wise: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven." Well, why do we want to duplicate the will of Allah God according to that which is in the heavens? It is because none of the planets, the stars, the structures of the heaven disobey the nature in which it is or they are created, and thus they have longevity of life. Even so, if we who are created in the image and likeness of God and in the nature of God, if we would be obedient to the nature in which we were created, then we would have longevity on earth. However, the lifespan of the average human being is about 70 years to 75 years. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, and according to the scripture that backs him up, that a baby will die at 100 years. When we pass away at 75 years or 80 years or 100 years, we have not even grown or matured out of babyhood. Scripture teaches us of those divine worthies and prophets and messengers of God who lived 800, 900, 1,000 plus years. Well, this is not conjecture. This is not symbolic. These are 365 and a quarter day years. Huh? Yes, we're capable of living 1,000 years or more. In fact, there is no time for the human being to die. Look at the trees. There are trees that are literally hundreds, even thousands of years old, while sea creatures, tortoises and such, live 100, 150 years to 200 years, and the poor human being on the planet cannot even get past 80, and if he does get past 80, it's a wonder. What happened? It is our disobedience to God and the nature in which he created us. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that the human being has two natures or two inclinations in his nature. One is an inclination toward evil, and the other is an inclination towards righteousness. The white man, the Caucasian, was made and given a nature in his make to emphasize and to augment an inclination of that species of so-called human being. I say so-called because he's not that. He could be, but he's not. He has a nature to incline towards unrighteousness, towards wickedness, towards lying and deceit. Look at what Jesus told the Jews who were arguing with him in John, the 8th chapter, the 42nd to the 46th verses, I believe, when he states, they were saying, we be of Abraham, seed, and God is our father. Jesus responds, if God was your father, you would love me. Or if Abraham was your father, you would love me, because I proceeded forth from Abraham. Yet you seek to kill me. A man told you the truth. And then he said, no, you are of your father. He said, I know you. They were trying to pull the cover over Jesus, but they couldn't. He said, I know you. You may have deceived everyone else, but I know you. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye shall do. He was a murderer in the beginning. I want you to hold on to that particular scripture. And abode not in the truth. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. I want you to hold on to those words too, his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Well, what do you mean? He was a murderer in the beginning. This cannot be ascribed to the black man and woman, because we don't know the beginning of the black man and woman. Neither did the Jesus of 2,000 years ago. He didn't know the beginning. He knew he was from us. And so he referred to himself as Alpha and Omega, because he didn't know of any beginning of those whom he was from, and he couldn't see any ending to the people from whom the Jesus of 2,000 years had been birthed. He was a murderer in the beginning. This is referencing someone who has a beginning. And who is that? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, taught us the history of the making of the devil. He taught us that the father of the devils was a great scientist. Many say a wicked scientist, but no, not a wicked scientist, but a great scientist by the name of Yaqub, 6,600 years ago, thereabouts. He was playing with two pieces of steel, and he saw that one piece of the steel had power over the other and would draw the other piece under its power of attraction. He noticed that the poles on the pieces of steel, when you put them together, they would repel each other. But when you turn one opposite the other, then it attracted the other one, thereby originating the law of alike repels, opposites attract. This was the science of magnetism. However, Yaqub saw in that science the possibility to bring out of the black man, the original people, an atypical, unoriginal people, unlike the original people, that would ultimately attract the original people and then bring the original people under their power. This is found in the Genesis of your Bible, in the 26th chapter, I believe. Let's look at it. I think it's the 26th. Let's see. Maybe the 26th verse. Yes. And it reads as follows. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now this is in the 26th verse. All the way up to the 26th verse, God is recorded as creating. He's creating. He didn't ask anybody for help, nor did he need any help. But in the 26th verse, now he's asking the assistance or the involvement of someone else. Let us make man. Make man. In our image and after our likeness. The white man is in the image of the black man. He's in the likeness of the black man, but he's not the black man. And let us, again, give him dominion. Dominion means power, to rule, to dominate. Over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and every creeping thing that crawleth. We cannot deny that the curious nature of the white man, the aggressive, curious nature of the white man, has caused him to go into the depths of the ocean to master some of that life. To study the atom and bring out of the atom energy and then harness that energy for his own good and for our good as well. He's been given dominion, rulership over the fowl of the air. You can't find a bird that can fly like the apparatus, the flying apparatus that the white man has invented. I mean, he had an example. We were flying long, long before he was ever a thought. But that's another subject. But I'm saying today, look at what he has invented and compare that to the power of flight of any bird. Well, of course, today, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been teaching that there is a power now, a technology in the heavens that dwarfs the technology of the white man. This is called to him or by him unidentified flying object, but much identified by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and those of us who are his students and followers. They're not from Mars or some far-off planet. They are human-built planes built by original people. But that's, again, another subject. Let's stay on why did God make devil. But he's given him dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and every creeping thing that crawleth. But then he told him, 6 days shall you labor, but on the seventh day you must rest. What does that mean, 6 days? The scripture further states that a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years. So in this particular instance, when Allah God says 6 days shall you labor, it means that this made man, this made devil, will have 6,000 years to rule over the planet, but in the 7,000th year, the 7th millennium, he must rest. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, said that that word rest in that context means die. Now, I'm sorry. When we talk like that from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message and from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it sometimes takes you off guard. Are you talking about a whole people going to die? Why would God kill a whole people? Oh, hush. He killed everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah. If you just look at the city of Tampa, where I'm from, or look at where you're from, or look at anywhere in America, the evil and wickedness and perversion and deviation of Sodom and Gomorrah looks like child's play in comparison. The Bible teaches you and me, yea, the day cometh when the earth shall burn as an oven, and all they, yea, all the wicked who do wicked shall be as stubble. And I will leave, this is God talking, I will leave them neither root nor branch. Now, when you don't leave the root or the branch of anything, that means you leave them no way to return whatsoever. This is the fate of white people, primarily for the evil that they have done to you and I. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been trumpeting a truth that is actually their mercy and their grace if they would but listen, if they would but hear. But it doesn't that they will. He's been teaching over 50 years, but in particular, he's been delivering a warning, a threat of grace and mercy in the 58 episodes of the time and what must be done. I don't think that they're going to hear. But Allah is the best knower. Now, I want to read from the Holy Quran. This is the book of guidance of the Muslims for those of you who are not necessarily familiar with it, from the second chapter, the 30th verse. And it reads as follows. And when thy Lord said to the angels, I am going to place a ruler in the earth, they said, wilt thou place in it such as make mischief in it and shed blood? And we celebrate thy praise and extol thy holiness? He said, surely I know what you know not. Well, what did God know that the angels did not? Yes, the ruler that he was going to place in the earth most definitely would and has created much mischief and caused the shedding of blood. But what did he know about that? He knew that that which was in him and in the black man had to be brought out of him. If he's an all-knowing and all-seeing God, how could he be all-knowing and not know all about himself? And how could he be all-seeing and not see all about himself and about his creation? Dear family, black brothers and sisters, and this is no disrespect to any other ethnic or racial background who may be listening, but the black man and woman are the direct descendants of the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're not black because you have been cursed, nor are you black because you took up your residence in countries close to the equator. No, 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 no. You are black because you are after that one who made himself up in the triple darkness, created himself out of the triple darkness of the universe. And you can't create yourself out of the darkness and come out white. And so we who are his descendants have in us some of all that he had in him. And if we, since we've been on the planet for the many trillions of years, and I mean trillions, have been raising a lot of trouble, and we have, 66 trillion years ago, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, one of the gods, in fact, the god, had a desire to make everyone on the planet speak the same dialect. Dialect. Dialect is a derivative of language. And it is impacted upon and formed by different conditions that exist in the atmosphere that causes one speech to be light or one speech to be heavy or to give it different phonetics. But since the earth was rotating, it's in motion, then he could not perform what he wanted to perform, because he would have to make the climate of the earth, or the then called moon, the same everywhere at the same time. This he could not do. So out of his frustration and disappointment, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us he dug a shaft in the then called moon. I believe it was 7 miles, filled it with high explosive and blew it up. He said the pot that is called now moon, floating in its particular orbit, shot out 36,000 miles. And I hope I'm getting these numbers correct and not mixed up. So anyone listening, please correct me. It shot out rather 12,000 miles in its present orbit. And this part that we call Earth fell 36,000 miles and now in its present orbit. And as it separated, all of the water that was on the then that part called Moon turned over and fell on this part called Earth. This is why the Earth is three quarters water. And this is why the moon has an attracting power on the waters of the Earth. And this is what stops the Earth from being overridden by the waters. It's called tide. It is the attracting power of the moon trying to get back once what she once had. So teaches the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so even though billions of lives was lost as a result of that explosion, yet something good came out of it. The moon was created or made, and the moon helps crops grow at night. The moon regulates the water, as I before stated. So all things work for the good for those who love the Lord and are called by his purpose. I cite this history that we are taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan just to underscore the reality that wickedness, disappointment, frustration, all of that existed in us 66 trillion years ago before the white man was ever a thought. So, if evil exists today, and it does, it had to come from the Creator. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us in that great lecture he delivered entitled The Gift on Savior's Day, 1997, he stated that devil is deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes evil fair-seeming. All of us are afflicted with that kind of devilishment. All of us, at one point or another, have rationalized disobedience to God and made the evil thought and the subsequent act fair-seeming to us so that we could carry it out. I don't think I'll get too much argument with that. So my point is, it came from God. Well, why did God make devil? To show us what was in us. We had to know the full scope of what is in us so that we can have a total knowledge of ourselves and the ability to bring out of us what was in us, destroy it so that we will never have to deal with it again. I know I'm making several points, brothers and sisters, and I know that they require explanation. It's 8:42 Eastern Time and 9:42, I'm sorry, Central Time and 9:42 Eastern Time. I want to get the audience in on this discussion. Just a few more points, and I want to thank you for your patience with me, allowing me this monologue, allowing me to give these talking points as we engage you in discussion in a few minutes. Thank you. Thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that the earth, according to the Quran and according to the Bible, or the universe, was created in six periods. This number six is very, very significant. In Revelations, it says, count the number of the beast, for it is, says, here's wisdom. Let he who has understanding or hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of the man. And so the beast's number is six, and the man's number is six. It is because the beast comes out of the man. The number six, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, means incompletion, imperfection, dissatisfaction. And so since we are under the number six, anything that comes from us is under the number six, and anything that comes under the number six is imperfect, incomplete, dissatisfied. You have to be dissatisfied if you're going to ultimately achieve perfection. If we're imperfect, then we are. The Master, Jesus, not the one 2,000 years ago, but I'm talking about the modern Jesus in our midst. I'm talking about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Well, how can they be both? Both be Jesus. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan represents the Christ, Jesus Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Look at that word, represent. It has the prefix re, which means to do again, and then the suffix, present. So to present again, that one who you represent means that in your representation, you have to present him again. So when you look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you're looking at the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You could accept it or reject it, but I say to you, you need to accept it today. And now I'm talking to those of you who say you are followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but you can't follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Well, you can't follow one without the other. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is just in the beginning stages of his evolutionary growth and development. Just keep watching. Keep watching. And so, according to the scriptures, and both Quran and Bible, the universe was created in six periods. That six represents incompletion, dissatisfaction, and imperfection. Yet the Master again says in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 48th verse, be ye perfect. This be ye is the same as unfayakun, meaning be, and it is that the God declared when he brought the universe into existence out of nothing. What he did was put his will, sent forth his will into the universe, and that which is in the universe couldn't hold itself back from coming to his service to bring about the fruition of his will. I know you have this spooky kind of understanding, some hocus-pocus understanding that when God created the heavens and the earth, he just snapped his fingers and there's the sun and there's the moon and there's the flowers and the trees and the cows and Pluto and Venus and Uranus and all the planets and all. Come on, brothers and sisters. This is to spook you out. Yes, God is the creator of all of that, but what you and I never question is methodology. How did he do it? How did he do it? You look in that same regard at all of the different races. Yes, they're different races, not including the black man, because the black man is not a race. But these others are races, meaning they have a beginning and an ending. And you wonder, you say, well, we're all here. Yeah, but how did we get here? And if the Bible says by one blood came all human beings, came all men, and the Quran says the same thing, then whose blood was it? And even if you say, well, they all came from Adam and Eve, well, what was their ethnicity? Huh? Why don't you ask your preacher these questions? Ask him. Because if there are any preachers listening, with all due respect to you, you must begin teaching your congregation, not moaning to them, not singing to them, not dancing and putting on a Sunday morning disco, but teach them the truth. Because it is not moaning, singing and dancing and guitar playing and drum beating and piano playing that's going to free the people. Jesus didn't know nothing about that. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So start teaching the truth. With all due respect. All right, I'm going to close my remarks with this quotation from the Holy Quran, and then some quotes of what the Caucasian says about his own self. First, the Quran. Matthew says in 5:48, be perfect. Then the Quran shows us how. In the fifth chapter, or surah, the third verse, in the middle of, I'm not going to read the whole verse, but just in the middle of that particular verse, it reads, this day have I perfected, this is more to the bottom, this day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor to you. Now, we're going from imperfection to perfection. We're going from incompletion to completion. This day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor to you and chosen for you Islam as a religion. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that that word as means like, but not really that, because Islam is not a religion. Islam is the nature of God and the nature in which he created everything. But this day have I perfected for you your religion. I perfected for you and completed for you my favor to you. And my favor to you is that you become a full and complete manifestation of me, your creator. I want you to be me. All right. Let's read what the enemy says. Or not the enemy. Well, I'll leave it here. The white man says this about his own making. This is from a book entitled The Iceman Inheritance by one Michael Bradley. He poses the question, why are we like this? Meaning, we meaning Caucasians. Much effort has been expended in attempts to make sense of our own apparently senseless behavior. I propose that the white race possesses an atypical level of aggression. Okay, he continues. Give me a moment. States further. First of all, the word atypical is defined as unusual, untypical, uncommon, unconventional, unorthodox, irregular, abnormal, anomalous, aberrant, and deviant. He says, it is in the sphere of abnormal violence that we, Caucasoids, excel among races. I'm going to read that again. It is in this sphere of abnormal violence that we, Caucasoids, excel among the races. It is this kind of violence that makes our history appear senseless to other men and senseless and even baffling to ourselves. Close quote. Now there's much more. Get the book entitled The Iceman Inheritance by Michael Bradley. Well, I'm going to close my words. I hope they've inspired some thoughts, some questions, and the desire to dialogue on this subject matter as we open up the lines and, of course, the chat room to engage our wonderful and participating audience. Thank you all for allowing me this time. It's about an hour, and I really, really, really appreciate it. May Allah continue to bless us with the light of understanding. And if any of you are in the Tampa area on Sunday, you're welcome to come to hear part one and perhaps part two of this subject, Why Did God Make Devil? Thank you again. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, Brother James, I know you've been talking for about an hour, but I think Brother Kareem has been on for most of that time, so I want to yield to him first because we only got a few questions in the chat room. So, Brother Kareem, you have any comments?
Excuse me. Well, first and foremost, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Oh, Brother Kareem, you know, brother, let me say this before you say what you are going to say, which I know we'll all benefit from. I want to apologize to you, dear brother. I always, always ask for your presence. And Sister Aziza, I don't care what I'm saying. For future reference, I don't care what I'm saying. If my brother is on, just let me know. Just interrupt me and say, Brother Kareem is on, okay? That way, I won't have you sitting around for an hour, dear brother. I was in a preaching mode, man. You know how that gets, brother.
That's all right. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, thank you. Go right ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, as always, being proper and in the correct protocol, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, indeed, the Exalted Christ, and in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who, I'll say it like this for the detractors, whom if he ain't Jesus, show me somebody else. All right. And it is in their names I greet everyone with the greeting word peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
As I said, brother, no, it was beautiful, brother. I mean, because you were hitting the points, I mean, right on. I mean, because that is it. The question that you asked is vital. It's vital. You know, why did God make devil? I mean, we have that in our lesson as one of the questions. It's in Lost Sound Muslim lesson number 2. Where in it explains what a devil is. And let me just share that. At point number 33, it asks the question that says, what is devil?
Come on, brother.
The answer is a grafted man which is made weak and wicked. Then it says, or, meaning also, any grafted live germ from original is devil. We got to understand that. So before we even get to why Allah made the devil, he explains to us what devil is.
Come on, brother.
Any individual, and I'm saying this now, and I know a lot of times we do apologize for offending individuals. However, I'm going to say this. If someone becomes offended at what I'm about to say, you know it's good because maybe it'll make you think. A lot of individuals, you know, and this is something that has been had me angry. I'm going to be very honest. You know, when individuals accuse my brother of deviating from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad because they lack the understanding to see what he's doing and what direction he's going in. Because I'm going to say it that way. If he had deviated, then that would be devil. However, how can you say he's deviated when you have evidence of the work that he is doing, not just has done, is doing? Now, we that say we are with him, we that say we follow him, we need to step it up so that witnesses actually being born to our Father who is in heaven by our good works. But
back to this
statement where it says, or any grafted live germ from original is devil. That means anytime we take that which is original, and then as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was fond of saying, he said it many times in the Theology of Time lecture series. He said, you're going to add in your God knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, I'm going to take what we have been given, and instead of using it in its pure form, I'm going to take a portion of it, and then I'm going to call myself building something on top of it. And, yes, it will have some success, but ultimately it does not produce the optimum results, which is the resurrection of a dead people. So we must be original. We must be 100%. I mean, if you notice in the very first lesson we are given, which is the student enrollment, it starts out telling us that this has to be answered 100%. We are told that Islam is entire, which means 100%. Submission to the will of God. In order for any relationship to be successful, particularly that which we call marriage, it has to be 100%, 100%. It can't be, I mean, you know, Teddy was all right, but it can't be like Teddy. Because I'm like this, if you come to me talking about 50-50 love, I'm going to be a little upset and I'm going to be curious. Well, who you giving the other 50% to?
Come on, brother.
See, we have to be 100% with Allah or it's devil. That's it. That's all. This is where we're running into the problem. However, you hit the point. You hit the nail right on the head, brother, and drove it straight through the board when you were talking about. Notice in point 38, it asks the question, it says, then why did God make devil? After he gives us explanation of who the devil is, the date of the expiration of his civilization, it tells us what he teaches the 85% on. Then he says, then why did God make devil? And the answer is to show forth his power, that he is all wise and righteous, that he could make a devil, which is weak and wicked, and give the devil power to rule the earth for 6,000 years, and then destroy the devil in one day without falling a victim to the devil's civilization. Otherwise, to show and prove that Allah is God, always has been, and always will be. Well, many of us coming through, we learned this and we recited it. You know, we memorized it and we recited it. But did we really delve into it and understand it? Did we ask the vital question? He said, why did God make devil? Well, who did Allah have to prove he was God to, since there wasn't no white man on the planet? Who did he have to prove it to? It had to be us. It had to be us. We look back. If you notice, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, said that 75% of his work is with the woman. If you notice how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has devoted so much time to raising the standard, just as his teacher did, of the woman, particularly the black woman. I mean, let's think about this. Again, back to the question, why did God make devil? I'm gonna present a scenario. All right. So 66 trillion years ago or so, you have he who is Allah in person at that time on the planet. And you got everybody else. And Allah says, now look, there's an aspect of your nature that you're going to have to deal with. And it's become a problem. It's become a nuisance. And that deceptive intelligence that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked to us about, operating even then. And the fellas say, oh, man, we all gods. What are you talking about? He said, look, I'm telling you, there's some things going on. There's some injustices going on. And it's going to have to be settled. Out of arrogance, the gods, quote unquote, didn't listen. Now, we are taught that Yaqub was born out of dissatisfaction or the dissatisfied of the people. I'm not going to get into all the numbers. Again, it's referring back to why did God make devil? Now, since we were the head at that time, who possibly could have been being treated with injustice and who possibly could have been so dissatisfied that it would be necessary for Allah to produce a Yaqub, to produce a mirror for us to see what our wicked or negative side would be, or what it would be like to live and rule under our negative side. And I mean, very simply, since the black man, quote unquote, was in charge, it could only have been the black woman. But since it's not given to her to exact justice, we are taught and told that whenever there is a situation that needs to be corrected, then nature produces a man to bring about what's necessary to correct that. And so why did God make devil? Just as you said, my brother, just as you said, it was in order that we could see what was in us. There is no way, as I hear some of my Christian brothers and sisters try to say, well, God is all good. Okay, well, if he's all good, and he is, how did he get to be all good? Since he's all good, why does he state in the Bible that he created good and evil for his purpose? Give you another example. Look at the book of Job. A lot of people, when they look at the story of Job, they talk about how the devil did this to Job and how the devil did that to Job. You better go read it again. All the devil, quote unquote, did, all Satan did was make suggestions to God. He would go to God and say, I bet if you do this to him, he'll curse you to your face. I bet if you allow this to happen. You see, so it wasn't even, the devil had no power. All he could do was make suggestions, and then God, by his will, allowed these things to happen to Job, but Job didn't move. Job didn't turn. So, again, why did God make devil? He made devil to show us once and for all that the only success that we will have is an entire submission to his will. We can't add anything to it. We can't take anything away from it. And I'm going to, before you go on to the other questions, I want to share this, what you were talking about earlier in what is called the Lord's Prayer. And you were right on it, brother. You were right on it. Listen to the words. Now, I'm reading this from Matthew. And it when I first read, the first time I read it as I was studying the Bible, it brought some thoughts to my mind. But notice here, it's in chapter 6. It starts in verse 7. He says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for much speaking. Again, like I say, if anybody gets offended, good, maybe it'll make you think. As a matter of fact, the Jesus I study in the Bible, he made a career out of offending people when it was necessary, not out of malice, but to get them to see their error. Because oftentimes, that's the only time we'll see our error is when we become offended. Oh, I'm angry. You pointed out something wrong I did, or something, a flaw in my character. I'm angry about that. When we get past that anger and really look at ourselves, if we are true of heart, it's a good thing. And like he said, vain repetitions, because they think they will be heard for much speaking. I hear people, they come up with their own prayers. I mean, we're going to say a prayer, and then they say this prayer, and then it's just on and on and on, and they keep repeating the same thing over and over again. No direction, no purpose. We are given prayers to pray specifically, which help us to come into a correct frame of mind, even to talk to the God. But I'm going on to the Lord's Prayer. Notice he says, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said some time ago that when we pray, you can pray for things, that's up to you. It's entirely up to you. However, the things that we need, we have the intelligence to produce any material thing in our life that we desire. Hopefully, what we need to pray for, what we have to pray for, is right guidance and the strength and the ability to not give in to the lower nature or to the devil within or to the deceptive intelligence. That's where we need prayer at. That's where we need the strength. But it goes on to say, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And hallowed means much extolled. That means repeated over and over again, lifted high. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to stop right there. Why does he say in earth as it is in heaven? Most people say on earth, but he says in earth as it is in heaven, because we, human beings, our bodies come from the earth. So the body is the earth it's talking about, and the heaven it's talking about is the mind of Almighty God. And so we have to line our mind up with God's mind. Therefore, we're thinking the thoughts he desires for us, and then our body is automatically going to move in that direction in a righteous manner. Notice it goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. If you go back and check some of the, I don't even know if they're still available now, but if you go back and check some of the original translations of what they call the New Testament. Originally, before King James got a hold to it, it didn't say, give us this day our daily bread. It said, give us this day our daily breath. Breath. This is why Jesus made this statement. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It became bread. I'm just being, and you can check this out for yourself. You don't have to believe me. It became bread. They altered it in the Catholic Church because that was during the time when what they call tithes originally what they were agrarian. And so what they would do is they would not eat or sell the first seed that came out. They would put that back so they'd have seed to plant the next year. But when the Romans came in and they introduced money and said, well, we're going to use money, they changed it to bread to make the mind be more focused on the material as opposed to the spiritual. Like I say, you don't have to believe me. Check it out for yourself. And one of the witnesses of that is, look, you notice most of the time when I hear people say the Lord's Prayer, they say, it said, because I'm used to saying it this way, but forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Notice the words here. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, they were steadily focusing on money. Then notice, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I just wanted to share that and say this, that again, Student Minister James Muhammad, like I said, that's all I can really add to what you said because you hit it right on the money. Again, I'll repeat this and then I'm going to be quiet. Allah or God's purpose for making devil was to show us in us and what must be controlled. And the only way it can be controlled is by entire submission to the will of Almighty God, Allah. And that under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and dare I say, who is represented, whom you see before you, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem. Thank you, dear brother, for those wonderful, wonderful and insightful explanations. I appreciate that, brother, and I can always look to you for that, for which I'm very honored to have and grateful to have you on this show. I hope, though, that there are those out in the listening audience who, in the time that we have remaining, to please, let's hear what's on your mind. Any comments or questions?
Okay, let me remind the listening audience, you can press 1 on your dial pad if you have a question or a comment. Brother James, we got a question from Aaron. He just wants your opinion, he says. He's, and I hope you all can hear me. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be like, okay. I feel that God made devil as a part of the free will he gave us, the will of choice. We must have to decide on what type of life we want to live. Righteousness is representative of God. Anything else is devilish or of the devilish mind. Our choice. Your opinion, please.
Well, there is some truth to what you say, dear brother, Brother Aaron. But will is that gift from Almighty God that allows us to be like him. We
That's
are
right.
the only beings on earth that can say, I will or will not do something. The animals can't say it. Certainly the insects can't say it. No one, no life on earth can say that except us. And if, in fact, we are after the God, created in his image and after, no, I'm not going to use that for us. We are by nature the direct descendants of the Creator, whose will, all-encompassing, then he gave us the gift of independent will so that we could be like him. We can will to be good, or we can will to be other than good. You know, on that point, dear brother, there's a popular statement that we, the Muslims, use, particularly when something adversely affects us or we do something that adversely affects someone else. We say, well, Allah permitted it, so if Allah permitted it, then that's his will. Well, yes, to a degree. He has a permissive will, which means that he allows, he sees where you're going with what you're doing, with what you're willing, and so he permits it. But his permission is not his preference all the time. The Holy Quran teaches us that man earns the consequences of his misdeeds and the rewards of his good deeds. How do we earn these consequences and rewards? It is because we have a choice. We have a choice. So many who say, well, Allah permitted it and use that to assuage or to excuse their guilt for what they did in abuse to another. I'm talking to Muslims now. We're the ones that say that for the most part. Well, understand that Allah's permissive will is not his preferential will. He permits us to do these things, but remember, we earn the consequences of our misdeeds and we earn the reward of our good deeds. So, sure, he permits it, but that doesn't mean he prefers it.
That's right.
So you have a good point, dear brother, but will is not necessarily diabolical or devilish. It is what you submit your will to that makes it one or the other. Now, Brother Kareem mentioned, as I had mentioned before, deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes evil fair-seeming. Well, you can will to bow to that. Or you and I could will, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan recently stated to us, to say, is God the author of what I'm about to do?
Come on. Hmm.
And if Allah God is not the author of what we are about to do, and we know whether or not he's the author of the things that we do and are about to do. And if he's not the author, then we can decide not to do it. Or we can decide to do it. Allah says in the Quran, by the self-accusing spirit. This is in the chapter, I believe it's 76. I believe it is. Brother Kareem, you could help me here. Al-Qiyamah.
Yes, sir, it is. The resurrection.
The resurrection, yes.
Yes, sir.
He says, by the self-accusing spirit. And that's interesting, that name, Al-Qiyamah. That's the name of the position, one of the positions that we assume in our prayer service, our Salat service. It's
right
hand over the left hand over the lower region of the body.
Come on, teach
Isn't
it,
that
man.
Interesting? That means those inclinations that rise from that lower region of our body are in check by the right hand or the right thought over the left hand or the wrong thought and keeps it in check. And by that self-accusing spirit, Allah says in the Quran, the resurrection will take place. So thank you for that question, Brother Aaron. May Allah continue to bless you, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, yes, sir. Oh, excuse me. Okay, Amina wants to know, do you have to prove to God what's in your heart when he already knows?
You know, Brother Kareem, that's a wonderful question. I'm going to let you handle that if you don't mind, dear brother. Go ahead.
All praise is due to Allah. And you're right, it is a wonderful question because that's something that, you know, that honestly I thought about when I was much younger. As a matter of fact, I'll share this and then I'm going to answer the question. When I was a young child coming up, because I was born and raised in the nation, and we would pray. And so I would always turn all the lights on in my room when I would pray. And so my mother asked me one night before I finally got into bed after I prayed, she said, son, she said, when you get ready to pray, why do you turn on all the lights? I said, because I want Allah to see me. You know, as a child, and I mean, but like I say, it is a wonderful question because we need to think like that. Mm-hmm. We need to ask these kinds of questions, and the bottom line is it goes back to something that you said earlier, Brother James, is that, yes, Allah knows, but it is us who need to know what's going on with us. Yes, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, knows all, sees all, yes. However, we don't. That's what you just talked about, that self-accusing spirit is all about. When Allah presents to us these things, it is for our edification so that we'll know whether we're going in the right direction or if we're going in the wrong direction, we can correct our mode. We can arrest or we can stop what we're doing that's incorrect and begin to move in the right direction. It's just like you said, we as Muslims, a lot of things that we say, and some things have become very cliche. You know, we make statements. For example, you will hear us say, like you said, individuals will say, well, I'm going to do so and so and so. Or, would you do something? They say, well, inshallah.
Inshallah, you know, yeah.
They say it like it's a question. It's not a question. that's not a question. That's a statement. Inshallah. Be it the will of Allah. And then I do what's necessary to move out in Allah's will, as long as it's something of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like the sister was asking, do we need to prove to Allah? Well, we need to prove. Well, we need to prove to Allah in us. Need to prove to is Allah in us. That's just like individuals. Another thing they'll say is, an individual will do something they know is absolutely wrong or unjust to another, and make the statement, well, Allah knows my heart. Yeah, we do. Your actions show us what your heart is. So you're not going to get away with that one today by trying to say, well, you're not in a position to judge me. No, I'm not in a position to condemn you. That's not my place. But I can, by using the standard that God has given us to live by.
Come on, Curry, make it plain.
Take a judgment call based on your actions. I can
come
do
on,
that.
Come on, beloved. I like that.
You know,
I like that, brother.
But it ain't my job to condemn you. As a matter of fact, that part in the Bible where people would throw up quickly, where it say, judge not that ye be not judged. For with the same judgment that ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Sit down and go and learn what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us. Get a command of the English language.
Mm-hmm.
Because that word that they translated and just translated as judge, judgment, and condemn all have the same root. It's a Latin word called judicare or judais. And depending upon the context it's used in, it can be to judge or to condemn. None of us are in the position to condemn. That belongs to Allah and Allah alone.
Come on.
However, we are in a position to judge based upon our actions or another person's actions. So, my sister, in response to you, again, it is for us to prove or to show to Allah in us so that we can be corrected. That's part of God's mercy. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Very beautiful, Brother Kareem. Thank you, dear brother.
Praise be to Allah.
Okay. I have a series of questions from a particular brother, but I'm just going to ask this one. He says, how can the truth make you free? And are Muslims free now that we know the truth? That's from Brother Chance Hall.
That's an excellent question, Brother Chance. Let's go to the scripture. In John, the 8th chapter, the 44th, I think it's the 44th, but let's look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. Man, you know, I just have to get better with this, Brother John. I mean, Brother Kareem, John. I got John on the brain.
It's all right, bro. I understand. Believe me.
I got to get better at this, man.
That's a while it runs together.
I'm looking for that part where it says, the Jews are saying, how be it that you say of us that we shall be made free? We have, oh, here it is right here. Yes. It says, ye, and this is the 32nd verse.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The 33rd verse reads, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Just to let you know that those Jews over there in that little tiny state of Israel, which is not really the real Israel,
that's
they're
right.
not the ones, they're not Abraham's seed, and they're telling you. They haven't been in bondage, so they don't fulfill the prophecy, nor of a surety, Abram, that your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not there. They don't fulfill that, and the scriptures bust them out. Now, it reads, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now let's look at that. According contextually to the words of Jesus, he is stating to those to whom he is speaking that they are servants or slaves or enslaved by the sin through which they commit. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And then he warns them, because of your sin, that servant, meaning them and white people, I'm sorry, but this is talking to you if you're listening.
Come on.
The servant abideth not in the house forever. That means you have a beginning, and because of your wickedness, you have an ending. You don't abide forever. The house means the earth. I just want to make it plain.
Come on.
And the servant abided not, no, here it is, it says, but the Son abideth forever. Well, what did he mean by that? It means those who are members of the body of Christ in
right.
their lifestyle, they represent not just the word of Christ, but they represent the actions of Christ. This is why James said, be ye doers of the word, not just hearers of the word, not just preachers of the word, but be doers of the word. So when Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, he was referencing being free from the bondage of disobedience, of sin and rebellion and iniquity and evil doing. Now, are there any Muslims who are free? Question is posed in our lessons. Are there any Muslims other than righteous?
Come on.
And the answer is, I beg your pardon, I have not heard of one.
That's right.
Or any. You see? All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, dear Brother Chance. There are none of us who can boast that we have not fallen short of the glory of God. If not for the mercy of God demonstrated through his Christ and their servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Allah God would destroy us all. Because we've all fallen short of his glory. But look at the words of the lesson. I beg your pardon. Someone came and on our behalf begged our pardon. That's so beautiful. We are pardoned by the grace of Almighty God Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. He knows that the way we act is not as a result of following the nature in which we are created, but we were interfered with. God said, let us make man. The white man came and interfered with that and said, let us make nigger.
Come on.
And this is exactly what he did. He created us or made us in his image and after his likeness. So when you see black people shooting down one another, when you see us robbing, stealing, raping, and ravaging, when you see us homosexuals and lesbians, when you see us lying and deceiving, you can say quite accurately, made in America. So when Allah came, he knew what he was going to find, and therefore he begged our pardon. And in begging our pardon, he could say, I haven't heard of any unrighteous Muslims, and all of these, including you. Chance, Brother Chance, if you're a black man, you are Muslim by nature. Muslim by nature. You're righteous by nature. You mean if I'm not black, I ain't righteous by nature? No, you're not. And your own people will tell you about your Cronus complex. Get that book, The Iceman Inheritance. They will tell you about the nature of you, your natural aggression, your overt murder, lying, and stealing. You have destroyed every indigenous people wherever you set your foot down, white people. You need to know this so that you can get an understanding of who you are, what you are, and even more important, how to get out of what you are. There's a doorway through which, there's a window through which you can go to extend your time on God's earth. He tells you, honor your father and mother so that your days will be long in the earth or land that the Lord thy God giveth you. The black man and woman are your father and mother, white folks. You came from us. We made you. This is why you're getting grace, because we made you. And if we want to get upset with what you do and with what you did, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, you can't blame the maid. You have to blame the maker. So we're getting an extension. All of us are. And so are you if you're willing to hearken unto the voice of God in your midst, and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Make no mistake about it. He is the spirit of God's mouth. He's the mouthpiece of God. His mind is overcome by the will of God and his Christ, and he is backed by those two powerful and mighty men. And this is why, as much as his powerful enemies hate him and seek to destroy him and stop him, they can't do a damn thing with him. Not because he has an army, not because we are instructed to carry weapons. We don't carry so much as a penknife. We're ordered not to use the carnal weapons of this world, not even to store them in our houses. But they can't touch them. I want to talk about the man for a minute. Look at how God has taken him to death's door. I mean, his enemies and ours wrote his obituary before the man had even taken his last breath. They just knew he was over. What, Farrakhan has prostate cancer? Well, it's about time. I was wondering when that man was going to die. We're going to be through with him. Yay, let's celebrate. But God takes him to death's door and then brings him back. Not once, not twice, but three times. Huh? You say, well, why did he take him to death's door in the first place? Well, why did they take Jesus to death's door? Look, you don't be a servant of God and not make a supreme sacrifice. This is God's man in our midst, a wonderful man, a lovely man, a loving man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and he that believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what a beautiful man. I get emotional, Brother Kareem.
That's all right, yes, sir.
All praises due to Allah. But yes, we've all fallen short, dear brother, but we have a chance by the grace of God and his Christ. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, we have a comment, question maybe, from Turbo, who says, not understanding the purpose of death of babies and children, injustices of the poor and the weak, why does God put those people through that part of, what part of heaven or peace do they see? What are they going to get from it? Is that suffering God or devil? Which, if you look at it, and if God made devil, it's still all God, not understanding why.
Excellent question.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent question. Brother Kareem, it's your
yes,
turn,
sir.
Brother. All praise is due to Allah.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, again, understanding, and like you said, it is an excellent question, and exactly what the brother just said, yes, ultimately, everything falls back to the creator of the heavens and the earth. I'm a music lover. I mean, I was formerly a musician, also a vocalist. But I'm a music lover, so I listen to all different types of music, and there's a song. It's entitled God's Mistake is what's the name of the song. But the point I'm going to make from it is that there's a line in the song that says, God, you look mighty fine, dressed as the devil in a cosmic pantomime. I'll let you figure that one out. Now, the thing is that, as Student Minister James Muhammad mentioned earlier, when it comes to God's will, you have God's active will and you have his permissive will. And the difference is that the best way for me, the example I can give you of that is if you have a child, and you work hard and you save up money for this child to go to college, and you want your child to be a doctor. That's your dream. That is your will for your child. That's your active will because you are active in seeing that this takes place. Well, the child grows up, goes off to college. You put the money out there and you're sending the money. And then after the first 6 months or a year, the child comes home and says, look, you know, I know you want me to be a doctor, but I've been away at college and I'm really more interested in music, and I want to be a musician. Now, you upset because I put all this time in and put this money together. No, you're going to be a doctor. That's your active will. However, the child says, well, wait a minute. Let me pursue this. Yeah, they make a good argument, a good case, and then they sit down and play the guitar, whatever it is, whatever instrument it is. Anyway, they show you that there's value in what they're going to do or what they desire to do. And so you say, okay, fine, then I'll allow you to use this money that I've put out here. Even though I want you to be a doctor, you want to pursue this, I'll allow you to do it. So that is, you permit them. So that's your permissive will. That's the best example I can give you. Now, when it comes to the people who are suffering in the world, it's not that God is sitting down and he's saying that, oh, I'm going to make Mary Lou suffer. I'm going to cause this child to die. We have to understand that God has set up a law in the universe that operates these things. I mean, let's be real. I'm not being funny. But what would be the purpose in being the creator of the heavens and the earth if you had to sit and literally push all the buttons? See, that would make God the servant or the slave. There would be no enjoyment. But he has set a law in motion in the universe that says you reap what you sow. What you put in, you get out. And so the actions of the people, it goes back to that, what we discussed earlier, free will. See, a lot of people think free will means I can do whatever I want to do, period. No, free will means we have a choice. We can either do it according to the Creator's will, and based upon, if we do it according to the Creator's will, then what follows is a certain set of circumstances which are put into motion by the law by which he created the universe. And if we go against his will, by the same token, there's a certain set of circumstances, a certain conclusion, consequences that are going to come about based upon that same law that the universe is under. So when you say what kind of peace do they get now, I mean, we don't believe in a spook God, meaning an unreal God. However, Allah does tell us in the Quran, see, the way it's taught currently in the Christian church and also in some Islamic circles is that, well, only if you're good, you go to heaven. Only if you're good, you return to God. According to Quran, and even in the Bible, if you really study it, but directly according to the Quran, Allah states that the eventual return is to us. He doesn't say only the righteous. He says, so that means that once an individual dies, once the body is done, that life force, that energy, which is God himself, returns unto the God. So ultimately, I can't tell you what good a certain individual's death will bring about because I'm not the creator of the heavens and the earth. However, I do know from my own experience that even in a tragic situation, if I look deep enough and I look for God and God's purpose in it, I will find it. And I can say that from my own personal experience. Because about a year ago, my youngest child was murdered. I had not seen him in 14 years. And even after his death, then I didn't get to see his body because he had been burned beyond recognition. However, all those years I had been praying and asking Allah to let me see my son. Well, when I went to what they call his home going, to the celebration of his life, I got to see my son. I didn't get to see the body that he inhabited, but I got to see my son because of all the hundreds of people that filed by to pay tribute to him and talk about how he influenced, impacted, and affected their lives in a positive manner. So I got to see him because I got to see the impact he had on the world. And so with that being said, that's how I would answer that. That in order to see the good in tragic situations, we have to look deeper than just the situation. We have to look for the for what was God's purpose in it ourselves. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam, brother Kareem. Thank you.
Okay, well, I don't have any more questions that I'm willing to take right now. I think I've answered them all.
Well, praise be to Allah. It looks like we're going to close on time, dear sister. And
let me remind the listening audience, though, if you are on the phones, since there's still so many of you on the phones, if you have a question, we do have time, so press one on your dial pad, and we'll be more than happy to take your question. And I just want to give a shout-out to my brother, Gene, because I see you out there, brother Gene. I called you today. I'm glad to know you're all right. So all praises to Allah. But please, press one on your dial pad, and we'll be more than happy to take your question. But other than that, brother James, I think I covered them all. Oh, okay, wait a minute, hold on. We got one from the Dallas area. Area code 972, your mic is now live.
As-salamu alaykum, Sister Queen.
Wa alaykum salam, dear brother. Who is this? Is this my brother Charles?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Oh, brother Charles.
I am well,
by
Allah's
grace.
I'll pray to Allah. I just wanted to just say hi to y'all. I don't have a question tonight. I just wanted to say hi to my family. Y'all been doing a good job tonight. Thank you, Brother James and Brother Kareem.
Praise be to Allah. Thank
all
you,
Black. All praises due to Allah. Brother Charles, praise, did you send me a message on Facebook, dear brother?
Yes, sir, brother. I just was complimenting you and just telling you that you always inspire me, brother, and you're doing a good job. I love to hear you speak, brother. I love your spirit.
All praises due to Allah. I want to apologize for not answering. I haven't been on Facebook in a long time, and the queen
beat
me up about it. But I wanted to thank you for your kind words and let you know I enjoy that show as much or more being with you and the other brothers as you did, dear brother. So thank you.
Yes,
all praises due to Allah.
And I tell you something about Brother Charles. Brother Charles is from Muhammad Mosque number 48 in Dallas, and that is a top soldier. You hear me? That brother is a top soldier. He is a perfect example of an FOI. He is always pushing the paper and just always so encouraging. He's a beautiful brother. That's my little brother right there. So original salute soldier. Keep doing your thing, bro.
Oh, praise be to Allah. I'm looking forward to getting back out there with the brothers real soon, ma'am.
Yes, sir. I know you will. And don't forget to share the pictures when you do.
Yes, ma'am. You know I will.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Well,
I know.
I'm going to get on there so they can get some wisdom from Brother James, though. Thank you.
Oh, praise
be
to Allah. Thank you, Brother Charles.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I can try to give the lineup with what little voice I have. Join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. for Young, Gifted, and Black. And we didn't do it last week, but we are definitely going to do it this week. We're going to do Black Youth and Law Enforcement. So I have a couple of police officers that are joining me, and they're going to tell us what they see in our communities and how they deal with our people versus how, you know, white folks deal with us. So we're going to have that discussion in detail tomorrow, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. join us for the trumpet. Ain't that good news? And we will have Brother Jamil Muhammad with us on Sunday. And Brother Jamil is going to teach, which is something we hadn't heard him do in a long time. So I am so, so looking forward to that. And we might, I think I can grab up Captain America's Curtis Muhammad to join us once again as well.
Very good.
And on Monday, I think Brother Kareem told me that the subject, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brother, the topic is the fall of America on Monday at 8 p.m. Central.
Absolutely. It is the fall of America.
Allahu Akbar.
I want folks to understand, we ain't talking about white folks.
Come on, man.
Come on. That's right. All praises to Allah. Truth. That's all it takes. So, yes, join us for that on Monday at 8 p.m. And on Tuesday, we're going to have disaster preparedness with Brother Rudolph Muhammad and Sister Lachelle Muhammad. And I don't know exactly what they're covering, but last week they did such a wonderful job on how to survive in disaster. So, please, whatever they decide to talk about, it will be informative and life-saving. And on Wednesday at 7 p.m., our hip-hop comedy show, of course, with DJ Black Caesar and friends. And next Thursday, I will be back with Courtship Out of Control. We're talking about videos and pictures and social media.
Come on, sis.
We're getting down to the nitty-gritty of it. It's a no-holds-barred conversation, and I'm not playing with none of y'all. So that's what we have to look forward to next Thursday. And, of course, next Friday, Student Minister James Muhammad will be back to teach us again on what, Brother James?
Well, next week, inshallah, we're going to have a special guest. I'm working on it. Inshallah, we'll have him on. I know you all might probably tired of me running my mouth and asking the question, well, when is he going to have a guest on? So next week, inshallah, we're going to go after a special guest, and I'm sure you'll enjoy him when he's here, inshallah. And while I have the mic, I want to thank Allah first and foremost for our sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, for your diligent work, sis. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart, from the depth of my heart, for your diligent work. When you're feeling good, when you're not feeling not so good, or when you're a little under the weather, it doesn't matter. Nothing stops you. And for that, we say all praises due to Allah. We just want to appeal to you that the physical body sometimes needs rest. You see? And we want you to be strong. We want you to be vibrant. We want you to be around for as long as you can. I certainly don't want to be here without you. Not that you're going anywhere. It's just that I'm so much older than you. I don't have to worry about that. But we want you to take care of yourself, sister. All right?
All right. You already got me fussed at in the chat room. I just want you to know. But
thank you, Brother James.
Thank you so much. And I will, I don't know when, but I will get some rest sometime this weekend. I will get it in. I just need to keep my mouth closed. Allergy season, and it's just that time of year for me, but I'll do my very best, and Allah will do the rest. So, all praises to Allah. Thank you, dear brother, for your love and your concern. And I wish I could stop, but I can't. I love you all so much, and I love these teachings.
We love you
and
too.
I have to get our people while we can. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if I can't talk for some reason, I know you and Brother Kareem got it covered, okay?
All praises due to Allah.
Oh, really?
All right, sis. All right.
Okay. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for staying over with us. See, we went over time anyway. But thank you so much. And I just want to remind the listening audience, in your chat room questions, you know, I don't mind your comments. I don't mind you being straightforward, but we certainly will not heed to vulgarity or negative comments. I'm not doing that anymore. And so please keep your questions as close to topic as possible. I will address questions that may be, you know, how can I put it, substantial to life-saving or life-giving or something like that. But your questions about relationships and things like that, if that's not the subject matter, we want to just remind the listening audience to just please stick to the topic as much as possible, because we have other shows that will definitely cover some of the things that you are asking about. And we'll have Brother Dimitri Muhammad back on sometime in the near future. And those questions that you have about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I'm pretty sure he'll be more than willing to accommodate you. So I just want to thank you. You are a listening audience. We do appreciate your participation, but we do have to set some boundaries sometimes. So thank you all once again for listening. All of you on the phone, y'all chicken, man. But I'm going to tell y'all next week, we're not putting up with this, Brother James. You know what we're going to do? We're just going to go straight down the line. I don't care if it's 900 people on the phone. I'm going to open up everybody's mic, and they're going to talk to us.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
They can
so
run,
thank
but
you
they
all.
Can't hide.
That's right. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding as we leave you in the way that we came before you in our nation's green words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam. Good night, Queen. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Thank you, Brother James.
Thank you, beloved. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful instruction.